Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty much, I guess, typical day for this time of year. Thankfully, no rain, no tropical weather, no nothing. That was not the case last week, as we all know, with Francine. Michael Glazer joins now, Mayor of Kenner. Morning, Mayor. How are you? How's everything in Kenner?
Good morning. Doing fine so far.
Tell me.
We continue our cleanup.
Yeah, tell me, what since the storm passed, what kind of numbers are you looking at in terms of structures flooded, houses damaged? Is it primarily from flood? Did you have any wind damage, et cetera?
A couple dozen buildings were damaged by wind, but most of our damage was from rising floodwaters. And assessments as of yesterday was 264 residents were flooded, from anywhere from, you know, a half an inch up to maybe 18 inches, I think is the most we reported.
Had some of those houses been raised, Mayor, that were flooded?
No, the ones that were raised, I'm not sure if any got floods, but the last I was told, I don't know what about yesterday, excuse me, but the raised houses didn't get flooded.
This is all about the Duncan Canal?
Well, I think it's a combination of two different pump stations. Most of our flooding and residents occurred in the northwest corner of Kenner and University City, and we had a small pocket of residences south of the east-west runway adjacent to the airport. And when you lose pumping capacity, the parish and the pump operators say they can pump so much an hour and only so much after, but that's with 100% of the pumps working. When you lose capacity, your capacity, you know, the pumping is going to be reduced greatly. So I don't know, with the amount of rain we had in just a little over 2 hours here in Kenner, at our sewage lift stations, it was anywhere from 9 to 11 inches in less than 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure our current system could keep up with that rate.
Or anything anywhere, I wonder. I don't know, unless you're on the top of a hill, maybe. I don't know how else you could handle that kind of rain falling in that short of a period of time.
And we know we need to expand the pumping capacity. That's why one's in final design for the northwest corner of Kenner, and we have a pump to the river project in South Kenner that's just being designed now. But that's going to be years before they come online.
Of the houses that flooded, do you know how many had flooded previously?
I'm sure that the ones that were raised have flooded in the past.
Mm-hmm. Are people out of their houses, or do you have people that have been displaced? Are they staying with friends or relatives, or what's the situation? Or have they gutted their homes, staying in them, or do you know?
Some are staying in. I'm not sure how many have left. But for the most part, the houses are drained. We see there's a lot of debris on the curb that's being picked up. But we'll have a better idea today when we go out, do another assessment of the houses that we know had at least 18 inches of water in it.
Wow. What about debris pickup? What do you want people at Kenner to know about putting the stuff out and sorting and all that?
Well, from driving around, it's already out on the curb. Our garbage contractor is picking up the trash. They're running their normal garbage routes today, followed by debris pickup. We know we have a large amount of bagged, vegetation, leaves and branches. The first wave of trucks today are going to pick up just the canned garbage, followed by boom trucks and other trucks picking up the vegetation and branches and construction debris.
I presume just about everybody can accept power has been restored in Kenner?
Yes, everybody's been restored. The last, I guess, report from Entergy was at Saturday night at 7:15. They had a reporting less than 50 residents without power, and I've confirmed that they've all been brought up today.
Do you know of any businesses?
Last night.
I'm sorry. Do you know of any businesses that were damaged by the storm?
I do not off the top of my head, no.
How does this compare to previous storms that have hit Kenner?
The areas that flooded have flooded in the past, and they're all adjacent to our drainage canals. We know we have some low-lying areas on major intersections from some of our roadways, but the houses that flooded were pretty much adjacent to either a Duncan Canal or another northwest, or I mean another north, south, east, west feeder canal.
What about Entergy's response? Your thoughts on that and the restoration of power?
Well, it's never quick enough, mm-hmm. and we were fortunate that I expected this storm as it blew through to knock down trees, which will knock down or knock out some of Entergy's transmission lines. But that really did not happen here. So I think we're fortunate that, well, it was a few days before the city came back as a whole, they did have a lot of large neighborhoods up the morning following, like Thursday morning. So, you know, it's never quick enough. We're always going to try to push for them to have a better grid, put money into, you know, I guess, hardening their system, because it's just a total inconvenience for residents to be out of power for several days. I understand it's a hurricane, but it's a constant battle.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about some more when we come back. What's going on in Kenner? Y'all got any questions or comments for Kenner Mayor Michael Glazer, 504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. They were hit hard by Francine. Let's hope that's it for hurricane season, the peak of hurricane season, statistical peak behind us. They're saying the next 7 to 10 days quiet, which would take us to almost the end of September, which would be great because after you get to October, and I understand Zeta happened, but we can kind of let our guard down. I just hope that this was the one for the year, and we got no more. We'll take a break, come back, pick it up with Kenner Mayor Michael Glazer, 720, time for traffic now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Kenner Mayor Michael Glazer, still tired from the storm. Mayor, I think, as I know you are too. I wanted to ask you about the houses that were flooded and were they insured? Because coincidentally enough, I got my insurance bill, which went from $300 to over $1,000. What kind of, do you know if the people that were flooded out had insurance, and what kind of challenges is that presenting to the people of Kenner, the flood insurance rates?
Well, flood insurance rates, yes. We're, you know, it depends on the zone because it's not just all the same zone area here in Kenner. We do have a little higher than you would expect areas in Kenner. But yes, it's a university city is a repetitive loss area. And the houses that flooded, it's a mixture of owners and renters. Mm-hmm. And a large majority of the renters do not have any insurance. So that's going to be the challenge for each individual, resident.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that. What do you have any non-governmental organizations coming in to help? Are you looking for volunteers? What has FEMA done? Are you talking to them? Tell me about the recovery.
Well, the recovery, yes, FEMA. The assessment is for our FEMA reports. We participate in the the flood program. So part of their recovery is to find out exactly how much damage we had reported to them. We did have already some religious faith-based organizations reach out to help. I know they've had two different churches here in Kenner had food giveaways. There may be one planned later in the week. I know they're talking about it just to see what the actual need of the area is. But yes, everyone has reached out any way they could help from every organization, even our disaster contractors. And I just want to tell the residents that we did not activate our disaster garbage pickup contract because the contractor we have now said they can handle it this week. And it's going to save the city a lot of money because those disaster contracts, when they kick in, they're very, very costly. And we feel that with mostly just less than 300 houses in the vegetation we have to pick up, they said they should be able to handle it this week. And our drop site here in the city of Kenner has been, the hours and days have been extended. They'll be open all week from 9 to 3 for anybody that wants to drop off their own debris.
Mayor, is there a website where people can go and find all this stuff out?
Yes, just the Kenner website. We have everything listed. You know, we've started posting. That's where we mainly communicate with our official announcements. Then it's backed up by social media.
I know there's no time during the storm, but now that it's over, did you want to highlight anybody in your administration or just some different departments and their response to this, which was not expected, was it?
No, because as we were monitoring it 2 days out, you know, it was in western Louisiana, and we're preparing for just some kind of a lot less, result of this eyewall coming pretty much right over the eastern eyewall, pretty much right over the western edge of Kenner. But let's, we have a lot of experienced people in this office that been through many, many storms, and look, from the field guys, our public works, our general services departments, our wastewater, that's the one that stresses the most, our sewage system. We have 84 lift stations that all run on electricity. So when the electricity goes down and they don't have backup generators, the sewage system just stops working. And that's our biggest concern is sewage and houses. And we're able to keep that very minimal. There's not more than just a handful of people that called and said they may have some kind of backup in their residence. But that is by far the biggest stress that we have is our sewage system.
Yeah, I don't know if I tell you that now, but lift stations, that is the classic example of, okay, you want to run a government? There you go. Deal with that, because that literally and metaphorically is what you have to deal with. Thank you, Kenner. Hang in there. Mayor Glazer, God bless you. I'll hang in there, okay?
You got it. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You bet. Kenner Mayor Michael Glazer. I'm having a rough time this morning. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Scooter Heap, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. Talk about trees. They can be a risk even after the storm passes. We'll tell you about what you need to know, etc. Right now, we pause for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Monday after Hurricane Francine, tropics are quiet for the next 7 to 10 days, which will take us to, let's go 10 days out, September 26th. We're past the statistical peak of hurricane season. Every day, every week is a win. And let's hope that was our turn, that was it, that Francine was it for the season. You never know, but let's hope. As I was picking up all the branches and everything, I was looking at the oak trees in front of my home yesterday, and I realized I got to call Ziegler Tree out and let him come out and do some trimming. Scooter Heap joins us now, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. How you doing, Scooter?
Good, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, sir. What do people need to know about maybe, first of all, I guess, down tree branches or getting stuff off of where it's not supposed to be, or dealing with trees that, because I saw a lot of trees that are partially down, et cetera, and dealing with all of this stuff.
Yeah, I think now is the time to get out and inspect the root systems of these trees. A lot of them, they got knocked off a kilter, and with the ground saturation, You know, you need to, if the tree is leaning that wasn't leaning prior to Francine, you need to go step around the base of the tree and feel with your feet if you notice any voids or lack of compaction around that root system. I just left the job, literally. A tree decided to come over yesterday. And looking underneath that root system, the groundwater is still real, real high. I mean, the groundwater was 4 inches below the surface of the ground. So these trees have very shallow root systems, and it's not taking a whole lot when the ground is this saturated for them to decide to come over. So I think that's paramount right now, is to check, you know, compaction around the root system. I think it's a good idea to know your trees. Get out and inspect the grounds, inspect the canopy. If you have hanging limbs, snap damaged limbs, certainly get an arborist out to clean that up. It's just healthy for the tree, and it reduces you know, the risk of something falling and hitting something or somebody.
Tell me what you're doing with the compaction again. You lost me a little bit there, Scooter.
Well, it's just trees, when the ground gets saturated, the soil compaction that has taken years and years. You got to realize the proper compaction around a root system takes years to develop. As that tree grows, the soil around it becomes, you know, a part of that root system. When you get ground saturation, that compaction is compromised. Then you get a little wind on top of that, and the tree sways. It's creating voids in the ground, in the dirt that was initially compacted prior to the event. And a tree needs a certain amount of compaction to hold these roots, you know, into the ground for stability. So that has been compromised with a saturation event like we just took.
I want to bring the audience in on this, too, at 504-260-1870. If you have any questions for Scooter Heap, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. One question pops up. Somebody's concerned about the oak that spends half its life living, half its life dying, and the other types, and how do you determine, how do you figure this out, Scooter? Or do you call you out and let you figure it out? Because I don't know.
Look, the tree you're talking about is a water oak, and our buddy Mike Strain talks about him all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a running joke in the industry that water oaks spend, you know, that they have about a 60-year life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
And they say for the first 25 to 30 years, it's growing, and then after that, it's starting to die, which, when you think about it, that's all of us, right? But anyhow, no, the water oaks are pretty much the problem.
Thank you, Scooter. That's what I need to hear on a Monday morning. Thank you. That's nice. That's exactly right. It's the truth, but I never thought of it that way. That's all of us. When you think about it, half of us, really, we spend half of our life living, the other half dying. That's right. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyhow, so yeah, water, look, you have live oaks. Everybody's used to live oaks, which you see in City Park and Audubon Park, and those are the oaks that live 300, 400 years, and we don't talk about them that much because they're so, it's a different structural makeup of the trunk and the trees is why they live so long. Water oaks, red oaks, pin oaks, willow oaks, they've got so many other oaks that are in the oak family that just don't have that structural makeup as a live oak, and people are under the impression, hey, it's an oak tree, it's going to live for 500 years, and that's just not the case. Live oaks are the exception. All the other oaks are, you know, they're maintenance issues, and they have health issues.
All right, let's take a break, Scooter. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. Got some questions coming in about pecan trees, about pruning, et cetera. And even though hopefully we won't have any more trouble this season, when's the best time to prune them and all that stuff? And also, I got oak trees in front of my house. I'll get my free question in there as well about thinning them out and trimming the canopy and how you got to be careful how you do that. I think you can't just start lopping branches off. 751, 9 till 8, Scooter Heap, our guest, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. A lot of us got some tree questions after Francine. We'll continue to answer them when we come back. Right now, time for traffic, WWL. 756 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Scooter Heap, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. And a text comes in, boy, somebody getting their money's worth here. How can you tell if trees are at risk of falling? What about root systems that can wrap around pipes? And if a tree collapses, how much damage can it do to a house's foundation or to, like, sidewalks?
Whew. That's kind of going all over the board there.
Yeah.
Trees, when they uproot, I have seen if they're – here's what you got to realize. The root system of these hardwoods that we're talking about, these oaks and gums and whatnot, are – you got to realize the root system wants to mirror the canopy, so it technically has.
7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Monday after Hurricane Francine, tropics are quiet for the next 7 to 10 days, which will take us to, let's go 10 days out, September 26th. We're past the statistical peak of hurricane season. Every day, every week is a win. And let's hope that was our turn. That was it. That Francine was it for the season. You never know, but let's hope. As I was picking up all the branches and everything, I was looking at the oak trees in front of my home yesterday, and I realized I got to call Ziegler Tree out and let him come out and do some trimming. Scooter Heap joins us now, state licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. How you doing, Scooter?
Good, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, sir. What do people need to know about, maybe, first of all, I guess, down tree branches or getting stuff off of where it's not supposed to be, or dealing with trees that, because I saw a lot of trees that are partially down, et cetera, and dealing with all of this stuff.
Yeah, I think now is the time to get out and inspect the root systems of these trees. A lot of them, they got knocked off a kilter, and with the ground saturation, you know, you need to, if the tree is leaning that wasn't leaning prior to Francine, you need to go step around the base of the tree and feel with your feet if you notice any voids or lack of compaction around that root system. I just left the job, literally. A tree decided to come over yesterday. And looking underneath that root system, the groundwater is still real, real high. I mean, the groundwater was 4 inches below the surface of the ground. So these trees have very shallow root systems, and it's not taking a whole lot when the ground is this saturated for them to decide to come over. So I think that's paramount right now, is to check, you know, compaction around the root system. I think it's a good idea to know your trees. Get out and inspect the grounds, inspect the canopy. If you have hanging limbs, snap damaged limbs, certainly get an arborist out to clean that up. It's just healthy for the tree, and it reduces you know, the risk of something falling and hitting something or somebody.
Tell me what you're doing with the compaction again. You lost me a little bit there, Scooter.
Well, it's just trees when the ground gets saturated. The soil compaction that has taken years and years. You got to realize the proper compaction around a root system takes years to develop. As that tree grows, the soil around it becomes, you know, a part of that root system. When you get ground saturation, that compaction is compromised. Then you get a little wind on top of that, and the tree sways. It's creating voids in the ground, in the dirt that was initially compacted prior to the event. And a tree needs a certain amount of compaction to hold these roots, you know, into the ground for stability. So that has been compromised with a saturation event like we just took.
I want to bring the audience in on this, too, at 504-260-187. If you have any questions for Scooter Heap, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. One question pops up. Somebody's concerned about the oak that spends half its life living, half its life dying, and the other types, and how do you determine, how do you figure this out, Scooter? Or do you call you out and let you figure it out? Because I don't know.
Look, the tree you're talking about is a water oak, and our buddy Mike Strain talks about them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of a running joke in the industry that water oaks spend, you know, that they have about a 60-year life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
And They say for the first 25 to 30 years, it's growing, and then after that, it's starting to die, which, when you think about it, that's all of us, right? But anyhow, no, the water oaks are pretty much the problem.
Thank you, Scooter. That's what I need to hear on a Monday morning. Thank you. That's nice. That's exactly right. It's the truth, but I never thought of it that way. That's all of us when you think about it. Half of us, really, we spend half of our life living, the other half dying. That's right. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyhow, so yeah, water, look, you have live oaks. Everybody's used to live oaks, which you see in City Park and Audubon Park. And those are the oaks that live 300, 400 years. And we don't talk about them that much because they're so, it's a different structural makeup of the trunk and the trees is why they live so long. Water oaks, red oaks, pin oaks, willow oaks. They've got so many other oaks that are in the oak family that just don't have that structural makeup as a live oak, and people are under the impression, hey, it's an oak tree, it's going to live for 500 years, and that's just not the case. Live oaks are the exception. All the other oaks are, you know, they're maintenance issues, and they have health issues.
All right, let's take a break, Scooter. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. Got some questions coming in about pecan trees, about pruning, et cetera. And even though hopefully we won't have any more trouble this season, when's the best time to prune them and all that stuff? And also, I got oak trees in front of my house. I'll get my free question in there as well about thinning them out and trimming the canopy and how you got to be careful how you do that. I think you can't just start lopping branches off. 751, 9 till 8, Scooter Heap, our guest, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. A lot of us got some tree questions after Francine. We'll continue to answer them when we come back. Right now, time for traffic, WWL. 7:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Scooter Heap, state-licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. And a text comes in, boy, somebody getting their money's worth here. How can you tell if trees are at risk of falling? What about root systems that can wrap around pipes? And if a tree collapses, how much damage can it do to a house's foundation or to, like, sidewalks?
Whew. That's kind of going all over the board there.
Yeah.
Trees, when they uproot, I have seen if they're... Here's what you got to realize. The root system of these hardwoods that we're talking about, these oaks and gums and whatnot, are, you got to realize the root system wants to mirror the canopy. So it technically has roots that extend out as far as the branches do. So if you have a tree that's within what we call the drip zone or the drip edge, you know, if you have a tree with a drip edge that's over your house, certainly if it uproots, it can do I've seen it do foundation damage. I've seen it pull up gas pipes, water pipes. I've seen them pull up sidewalks, driveways. So yes, that's a concern. Always does it do it? No, but a lot of times it will. You just have to realize that the reason they're anchored to the ground is because it's such a wide, it's spread out root system.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they'll take out pretty much whatever's under them.
So the rest of the question was, how can you tell if a tree is at risk of falling?
Well, you can certainly, if you can look at the canopy, if it's super heavy on one side, you can, you know, gravity is going to tell you that in a saturation event or a high wind event, it generally will go in the direction of the heaviness of that canopy. You can look at the root systems. If a tree is planted next to a next to a house or next to a driveway, and when they constructed that house or driveway and they cut the roots to pour the concrete, well, then that tree's ability to anchor itself is certainly compromised, so it's a risk. If there's any kind of construction that goes on as the tree is growing and roots get damaged, there you go. The ability to anchor itself is gone. So there's a lot of things that can add to a tree's possibility of toppling, but there are also measures you can take to reduce that risk, which is pruning and care of the tree.
If a house is 30-something years old, we only got 20 seconds here, and the tree obviously has grown, the trees have grown in 30 years, is there a way to minimize the risk to the foundation, or would you have to look at it first?
I would have to look at it. There are some root pruning techniques that can be used. Certainly, you know, canopy pruning. There are, but that's a tree by tree assessment.
And how does somebody get a hold of Ziegler Ziegler Tree, Scooter?
You can look us up online, or you can go to the Department of Forestry and Agriculture, and they have a list of all licensed arborists in your area.
Thank you, sir. 7:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Scooter Heap, state licensed arborist with Ziegler Tree. And a text comes in, boy, somebody getting their money's worth here. How can you tell if trees are at risk of falling? What about root systems that can wrap around pipes? And if a tree collapses, how much damage can it do to a house's foundation or to, like, sidewalks?
Whew. That's kind of going all over the board there.
Yeah.
Trees, when they uproot, I have seen if they're – here's what you got to realize. The root system of these hardwoods that we're talking about, these oaks and gums and whatnot, are – you got to realize the root system wants to mirror the canopy. So it technically has roots that extend out as far as the branches do. So if you have a tree that's within what we call the drip zone or the drip edge, you know – If you have a tree with a drip edge that's over your house, certainly if it uproots, it can do I've seen it do foundation damage. I've seen it pull up gas pipes, water pipes. I've seen them pull up sidewalks, driveways. So, yes, that's a concern. Always does it do it? No, but a lot of times it will. You just have to realize that the reason they're anchored to the ground is because it's such a wide, spread out root system.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they'll take out pretty much whatever's under them.
So the rest of the question was, how can you tell if a tree is at risk of falling?
Well, you can certainly, if you can look at the canopy, if it's super heavy on one side, you can, you know, gravity is going to tell you that in a saturation event or a high wind event, it generally will go in the direction of the heaviness of that canopy. You can look at the root systems. If a tree is planted next to a next to a house or next to a driveway, and when they constructed that house or driveway and they cut the roots to pour the concrete, well, then that tree's ability to anchor itself is certainly compromised, so it's a risk. If there's any kind of construction that goes on as the tree is growing and roots get damaged, there you go, the ability to anchor itself is gone. So there's a lot of things that can add to a tree's possibility of toppling. But there are also measures you can take to reduce that risk, which is pruning and care of the tree.
If a house is 30-something years old, we only got 20 seconds here, and the tree obviously has grown, the trees have grown in 30 years, is there a way to minimize the risk to the foundation, or would you have to look at it first?
I would have to look at it. There are some root pruning techniques that can be used. Certainly, you know, canopy pruning. That's a tree by tree assessment.
And how does somebody get a hold of Ziegler Ziegler Tree, Scooter?
You can look us up online, or you can go to the Department of Forestry and Agriculture, and they have a list of all licensed arborists in your area.
Thank you, sir.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.